Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for tuning in. We cover a lot of different topics, all from the lens of the biblical worldview on this podcast. And my brother, Scott Townsend, gets into things that a lot of people don't talk about, but we need to kind of keep up with some of this, what's going on technologically with AI and with other things, and just to keep that good perspective so the body of Christ can be balanced and equipped. But before I bring him on, and he's on Substack, I want to mention, if you missed our past interviews with Scott, you can go to our search at worldviewmatters.tv, and at the search, just type in Scott Townsend. And the most recent one, we talked about AI not being as intelligent as we've been told. And then there's another one before that. But so look those up if you can, but I want to direct you to his Substack now. And here's the site, iamawatchman.substack.com. iamawatchman.substack.com. Brother, good to see you again. Thanks for all you do and for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on again, David. It's a great privilege.
Praise God. I know you're busy, so I appreciate it. Now, you told me something before we got on that you send out different articles and different information on different days of the week, and you have a different kind of purpose for doing so. Please run that down for us again.
Thank you for allowing me to speak to that. Yes, I have three different series on Substack, which I do weekly, on just very briefly. What I do on Tuesday night typically is a tech-oriented article. And the reason, the originating story for that was I wanted to give our audience, you know, more background into the things that I was researching that came up typically in John Haller's Tech Roundtable series that we have about every 6 weeks. The second series is very personal, the second one. It has to do with coming alongside the Watchman community and putting difficult topics and thinking processes to provide some leadership, thought leadership. And I call that series the Kitchen Table Series. And the idea behind it is, let's just talk honestly as brothers and sisters in the Watchman community. And that series is really, really amazing. And then, of course, the last one I just started, I think, 6 weeks ago. I've got another blog post for this coming out later tomorrow night. Friday night, I release a blog update on my development that I'm doing for Advanced Gospel Initiative. So that is more technical. I talk about the different projects that I'm working on. This would be the Scott Townsend behind the public persona. This is the technical part of me that few people get to see. And I made a commitment just, 6 or 7 weeks ago to begin letting our audience, David, see that part of what I'm working on. And the goal is to, you know, ask for prayer. Prayer is on the bottom of that to help me, you know, to think clearly and to execute, you know, what the Lord has put on my heart and mind. And just as a teaser, one of the advanced topics that I, gospel initiatives I've already begun talking about more publicly is having to do with using a Raspberry Pi platform to basically hold a web server in the palm of your hand, no internet required. And anybody that connects to that captive Wi-Fi portal, such as you would have in a hotel, could actually get a hold of all of the post-rapture emergency message content that we have on the Rapture Kit. So this is an evangelism tool. Anybody that puts one in their backpack get to broadcast something. If anyone joins it, they get to hear the gospel. And of course, my real, you know, use case, my passion is to be a missionary to tribulation saints. That's what I call myself nowadays. And I envision this type of technology to survive all the gospel-oriented biblical worldview websites that are taken down and canceled. And yet, as new believers come to faith after the rapture, they need training. You know, a lot of them are very, very young in the Lord. Some know the Bible. They just never committed in John 3 to be born again. But I want this to be a training appliance that they could take into the wilderness Awesome. So that anybody that wants to see sermon series or read Bibles or books or see the kind of information that would normally be on the Rapture Kit, that they can do that.
Awesome. And rapturekit.org, there's a direct link, friends, rapturekit.org. Scott, we're going to try to do justice to three really different topics today, but I want to start with one you recently wrote about last month, and actually almost a month and a half ago now, cognitive decline when using AI. This one's really kind of eye-opening, but not surprising. It says there's strong scientific evidence that relying heavily on ChatGPT and other large language models for writing and creative tasks leads to cognitive debt, resulting in reduced mental engagement, creativity, and reduced memory over time. Tell us about this, because we know how much of a lure technology and things like this are to especially the younger generation. So go ahead.
You know, David, this is important, you know, that we understand some of the far-reaching implications of using AI. And in a nutshell, the key thought here is that when we use AI, we're delegating thinking. And what happens is we're not using the deep part of our brain that does critical thinking skills to work out things on our own, using our own gifts, abilities, and, you know, we're getting lazier. And that laziness is so easy to understand because AI continues to get very competent. So people, you know, that are searching for a biblical passage, including myself sometimes when I'm doing research, you know, my brain is getting old, like many of us, and, you know, I just need help remembering. I know what the scripture what the content is. I don't remember what, you know, the book and chapter and verse are in all cases. So You do a quick search. But, you know, over a period of time, when you let go of your own ownership of thinking through, especially critical decisions, and I'll just speak to pastors using AI for sermon writing or sermon prep, that should not be a thing. That's a red line, in my opinion. If pastors really understood how AI works, they would avoid it like the plague in that capacity. We don't want to put an AI between the Holy Spirit and a pastor, especially as they're preparing to address their congregation on the weekend. So it's very important that we do not let go of that aspect of our ministry and calling.
Amen.
So, but the thing is, guys are doing it. You know, they're putting in a prompt. Pastor Kurt Reed and I talked about this a few months ago, where he said, Scott, look, I can't believe this is happening, but I just overheard a conversation of a pastor in a church that said, I just preached the best sermon series of my life. And he went on to boast about the fact that he used AI to do it, and it was done in 45 seconds. So that is wrongful thinking. I don't think the Lord has a very high opinion of that, and I'm concerned about pastors. I'm trying to speak to this along with others.
Yeah, who determined that it was the best, you know, preaching series in his life? Did he determine that?
And what comments did he get from his audience? And so, what does that? I mean, Pastor Kurt,
that's not a good reflection on that guy.
What does this imply? Yeah, what does this imply about the, you know, the spiritual maturity of the church itself, and also, you know, the willingness of a pastor to take shortcuts or to somehow introduce it's almost like uplifting your own skills in order to look better or to appear more thoughtful in terms of a sermon. And by the way, AI is very competent, no doubt about it. It can do amazing things, but let's have clarity over where that boundary is. And so getting back on topic with this, David, when we let go and let AI, we're robbing or we're disenfranchising the way that the Lord has created us to be occupiers until he comes. I mean, we're not supposed to take a backseat. We're supposed to be very critical thinkers, and we're supposed to help people with understanding the gospel, apologetics. We're supposed to help them understand how to connect the dots and to report, watch, and warn the things that we see coming. And to me, David, that is not like Christianity 101. You know, that is PhD level understanding of the word. It's being a good Berean. It's years and years and years of uptake of important information and background in order to have the correct context to help people in the body of Christ.
So you provide several sources that reinforce this cognitive debt hypothesis. I just want to say a basic way that we can understand this is most of us that are older grew up at a time where we had phone numbers of our friends memorized and addresses and everything else. And now you just pick up your phone, hit a button. You don't have to know numbers. You don't have to, so there's just a lot of issues that it makes sense that, of course, the brain is not functioning as it's capable of functioning. Scott, you want to close this one out before we jump to the next one?
Yeah, I liken it to video games. You know, you can waste a lot of time indulging in the flesh in that way. Sorry, these are strong words. And I used to game, you know, and that was before I became a watchman. You know, I don't game anymore. I see it as a time suck, and it's not a productive way of using my time.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Thank you. Okay, let's jump to the next one. This would be your most recent, The Future of Computing, How AI and Quantum Are Shaping Tomorrow. And I'm thinking, how many more? I mean, we're going to continue to see headlines like this, The Future of Computing, because where is this going to take us? But what do you cover in this one, Scott?
Well, look, we have all known, if you read Revelation 13 and work backwards, that there's a series of implications about the Mark of the Beast system as a system, mm-hmm. and also how it's enforced and the cashless society that it implies. You can't buy or sell without the mark, for example. That is not a cash transaction, which is anonymous. So we knew this was coming, according to the scriptures, and we saw evidences of it creeping along the technology, you know, logarithmic curve almost. So what we're seeing recently with Jensen Huang, who's the CEO of NVIDIA, the largest, most wealthiest company in the world, by the way, in terms of market cap, they are beginning to talk about introducing AI as a way of controlling the stability of a qubit inside of a quantum computer, and also introducing 6G communications technology in order to harness the very rapid Internet of Things and the ability to do vast amounts of data connectivity in very short amounts of time. And they use the example, download a full-length Hollywood movie in seconds. That's the speed that they're talking about. And when we are hearing the CEO of one of the most important technology companies in the last 5 years talking about the convergence of the exact architecture of the beast system, here you've got AI that controls and decision-making and policies and controls the uptake of information, processes it, understands what's happening in the world. You've got quantum that could do hacking and other advanced encryption-breaking systems. And if AI controls quantum, the AI could say, go crack this bank and give me all their money. See, this is not good. And then you've got the final leg, which is you've got the mark. And the mark authenticates somebody in the beast system. Now, we're not going to see this. I'm pre-mill, pre-trib. The mark comes after the restrainer is removed. I want to make sure our audience understands that. Mm-hmm. And so what will happen is that the communications part of it between us and space will happen to facilitate instantaneous acknowledgement of buy-sell authorization decisions and all the other wow. control narratives of the promised beast system that's coming. And just to put a cherry on this topic, David, where do you go with this information?
Yeah.
And I'll just say that to me, it just means when we see the evidence of these systems beginning to unify and deploy, coming out of research labs and beginning to be a real thing, then that means that we are so much closer than when we first believed, not setting a date or time, not getting caught up in that, but to understand the season that we're in. And why is that important to me? I can't remember who says this all the time, but I love it. It's not an escape theology. It's Pastor Joseph Morris, by the way. it's not an escape theology, it's a hustle theology. You know, I love the way that he characterizes that. It means we need to be about the Father's business. If we're seeing it, we need to be responsible as watchmen and watchwomen to raise the alarm, to understand these things enough that we can have intelligent communications with people.
And it's tough for Christians sometimes to understand we are in this world, not of this world, but yet we use some of the technologies. And I think every time we have you on, we could probably do the same topic, the future of computing, because it's not going to stop. There's going to be constant advancements, and we'll talk more about that later. We've got to take a brief pause. We're with Scott Townsend. Here's some good news to tell you about, and then we'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kah, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right, friends, the website and ways you can register coming soon. Friends, we are now in our third year already of producing Worldview Matters, and we're amazed how far it's taken off. Praise God. To continue speaking the truth and exposing evil, having great guests like Scott and so many others, we depend on your prayers first and foremost, and then you sharing, of course, but also your financial donations. So if you are able financially, right now we're running a new campaign, and you could, for example, give a tax-deductible gift, $200, whatever amount you can, but some people give monthly, $25 a month, and we would love, if anyone gives, would love to send you our brand new stainless steel tumbler etched with my tagline, keep speaking the truth about things that matter and Worldview Matters on the other side. So please visit worldviewmatters.tv, and as always, we appreciate your prayers first and foremost and your encouragement. And then for those who are able to give financially, we're moving. And I think hopefully we're glorifying God and he's propelling this ship. But Scott Townsend, so did we wrap up the future of computing? If we can, we can go to the final topic.
No, I think we're ready to go to the next one. There's a lot to comment about this next one too, David. Remember, we talked about AI companions and the development of that type of snare. I'm going to call it what it is. And so I'll give you an update. What used to happen, just to give our audience kind of a background on this, is that there were companies that were specializing in providing AI companions, which is the ability to have conversations, normally through text messages, to a semi-competent AI. A lot of it was done through machine learning, which was the older version of AI, and they were paid apps and everything like that. But what we're seeing recently is very frightening to me. AI companions have grown in their maturity and acceptance, and many, you know, hundreds of thousands of users are using them all the time now. And that is ranging from companionship, to solve loneliness problems, self-esteem problems. But AIs have a serious flaw in that they provide what is called syncopathic responses. They will tell you what you want to hear, and they guide people into erroneous thinking. And of course, they do not have a biblical worldview. And one of the most shocking but predictable things has just happened through OpenAI. They made an announcement that I think it's in December, they're releasing, and I'm not kidding you, David, they're permitting age-verified users to have erotic-based conversations with an AI companion. And talk about the filth of, you know, that level of conversation, because look, in a traditional way of interacting with sexually explicit material, that's one way. But when AI is involved, it learns, it memorizes what you like and don't like and all that stuff, and it's more targeted and understands it's data mining you, and all the information can be used to manipulate you And you never know what your data, if it's safe, if it's going somewhere. You don't know anything about what's happening behind the scenes. And of course, the great concern is if we already have a pornography epidemic, which we do, having an interactive form of pornography is almost almost indescribably threatening to the human race. I will be that direct with it. And so, you know, to me privately, I'm wondering, is this what explains the fact that, you know, in, you know, the tribulation period, no one marries anymore? You know, what's going on with this narrative? And they're not the only one. So OpenAI has announced this, but Grok has already implemented this. So there are limited number of personas, some of which are imbued with the ability to talk in a inappropriate way for users. And the entanglement of these AI companions just further separates a user, could be a man or a woman, from any attempt at a real relationship with real, you know, I would say the way that God has designed relationships to be. It completely bypasses normal, you know, ways that God has designed us. And it's very isolating and dangerous. And I'm very concerned, which is why I appreciate the fact that we're talking about this, David. Thank you for your leadership.
Well, shocking, as you said, but predictable. We are the most connected technologically with gadgets and technology and machines than we've ever been in history, but we are the most disconnected personally from people, from that physical contact. You see families at a restaurant, and if most of them, if that, not all the family members, but they're looking down at their cell phones and they're out with for dinner together. So I understand how this is a lure, Scott, because loneliness becomes such a, it's a bigger issue than it was 50 years ago. Now it's a different level of lonely when you talk about the lack of interpersonal connection or communication. Speak to that, because I'm reading this article that you wrote. It's this system has grown over 60% in the last year, more than 120 new apps launching this year alone. And this is the direction it's going. The church has to be ready for stuff like this.
And that's the key part of this. In my in ongoing effort to speak to pastors through my open letter to pastors, cleverly labeled part one through four, and a bonus post on pastor, have you been left behind? That was my motivating speech to that audience that I predict will be a thing in the future. So my heart goes out to pastors and to the kind of crushing weight of the everyday responsibilities and distress and conflict that they're finding themselves in all day long. And in 2020, a lot of things broke in the church. A lot of things broke, period. And interpersonal relationships with masks that obscured people's face, Zoom that distanced people, separation distances and things like that. And we have not really recovered from that. And unfortunately, the church has to step into that void. But with the uptake of the adoption of these technologies, David, it is very clear that people that could be in church even, or people that believe that they're broken and in desperate need for help, where they would have gone to church as a last effort exploration of what can God offer them, you know, that gets triaged out of their worldview. And all of a sudden, they pick up the convenience for a few dollars a month of interacting with an AI companion. Yeah. And once the hook sets in, David, it is a very, very dangerous place.
And as anything, I mean, it could become addicting. I just, part of this article, recent surveys show teenagers and young adults engaging in daily emotionally significant interactions with AI. Friends, that's just sad. But that's where what the church has to understand. They want community. They want interaction, but they're not getting it in the right places. Scott, close us out in the last couple minutes here.
Well, just to finish that one, David, look, this is a challenge for youth pastors, especially because the youth are the most vulnerable. Yes. So youth pastors need to stand there and really address this with their groups that they're involved in, no matter what age group they're coming through schools. And I think it's a broad, challenge to all pastors. We're needing to be about the Father's business in a way that has never been seen before in future or previous generations. We're at the very last part of it. And we have to be missional in terms of how we can have kingdom impact for the Lord. And it's not a trivial or lightweight topic. It is very sobering. And of course, for pastors and watchmen, there's great accountability there too.
Amen, brother. So much more, friends. And these are extensive articles. The three topics we just briefly touched on here with Scott, but I just appreciate your time, brother. I love this perspective because we have to talk about these things. I don't necessarily love all the subject matter we always get into on some of these podcasts, but we're here for the body of Christ. Hopefully God is speaking, equipping, just giving people information and through the biblical worldview, a different way of looking at what's going on in the world. And that's why I appreciate ministries like yours. So again, the website, friends, iamawatchman.substack.com. Remember to check out the rapturekit.org. It's just rapturekit.org. Scott, again, thank you for your time. Lord willing, we will do this again soon.
Thank you very much, David. Always a pleasure to be with you.
All right. You're most welcome. And by the way, check out their roundtable, John Haller's roundtable. Those guys, I mean, sometimes it goes over my head too, but I'm just trying to keep up with what they're talking about because they are on the cutting edge. And by the way, Haller reads the New York Times, so you don't have to. Friends, thank you so much for your prayers, your encouragement, for sharing the podcast, and of course, your financial support. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.